Good evening. We're grateful you came out again tonight after a long day, so I hope you'll be blessed. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, Lord, there is no else. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord. Who is like you, O Lord? Mi kamocha balim Adonai. HaKodesh. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord. Who is like you, O Lord? You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord. Mi kamocha, Adonai. Mi kamocha ba'alim Adonai, mi kamocha nedar ba'kodesh, nora teilot osefele. Thank you.
Okay, how are we doing tonight? This evening? Great. How many of you have been here yesterday? Were here yesterday? Okay, the majority. How many were not here? Okay. So for you, I will just give a little introduction or summary of what we studied yesterday, and later on we will go on. So we are in a three evening seminar, which has to do with our roots. I cannot say the R like you, like my name is Rami. It's Rami. So when I say roots, it's R-O-O-T-S, not something else, yeah? So get used to roots, 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 yeah? So it has all to do with our roots. Intentionally, don't say Jewish roots. I rather call it Hebraic, biblical, first century roots, okay? And in connection with this, I divided the seminar into three parts, three evenings. The first one was kind of introduction to show why the roots are so important. We will go and summarize, give a little summary soon. The second one today is crucial to understand what is ahead of us. The first one deals with our past. Now, this evening, with who we are now, all of us who sit here, who is really Israel? Crucial to understand that because there are many, many different opinions and some crazy detached from, I want to say, the world. The world is okay, but from the Bible, okay? And you know what differentiates a sect or a cult from the true way? Only one or two words. Don't know if you know the history of the Mormons, the history of Jehovah's Witnesses. They all started very well. Yep, yep. Because this is Satan's speciality. He's a professional in mixing truth and lies together. He started already in the garden, right? So we need to understand. I myself need to understand more and more who is Israel, and how to act with this knowledge. And remember yesterday I told you, Jews or Hebrew people study, the ones who care for God. I'm not talking about studying of math or physics now, or chemics, but the Word of God. Jews who care for God and godly stuff, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they study day and night, not in order to have another degree hanged on the wall. Okay? They study in order to know how to deepen their walk, how to improve their walk with their God. Good? So, and today's lesson will lead us to tomorrow. Tomorrow we are going to deal with end time prophecies and how it is related to Israel, why to Israel, and how are we to prepare for those end times, actually, for the days which are coming upon us very, very soon. Okay? I will not talk tomorrow about things which will happen in 20 or 30 years, but things which are now unfolding in front of our very eyes. So hang on till tomorrow. But before we get to tomorrow, we need to understand today's subject. Who is Israel? So before, what we did yesterday actually was building a common ground. For those of you who have been here, please hang on. This is for the sake of those who have not been here. Yeah, we first of all talked about the need for to be connected to our roots. And we see now, we gave examples from the Bible. You can acquire the tape. It's all recorded, right? So for those who have not been here yesterday, you can get the tape, the CD, whatever, yeah, later on. And it's all detailed there. Why do we need roots? That's what we discussed yesterday. And in this connection, we compared between the first century body of Messiah and today's body of Messiah, the church. Yeah? And I showed on the slides big, huge differences, at least in the expression of their faith. Okay? The way the first body of Messiah expressed their faith in the first century, or the clothing that they used, their clothes were completely different than today's church clothes, okay? So this is what we showed yesterday, and I think we proved it biblically. And that led us to ask the $1 million question, why? Why are we so different than the body in Yeshua's time, okay? Or immediately following his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. And I suggested two reasons which are connected, strongly connected to one another. First of all, the huge differences between the mindset through which the Bible, the scriptures, as we know them, were given, and how this mindset, the Hebraic mindset, not the Jewish, the Hebraic mindset, influenced also the culture, okay? It's all connected. Versus the Greek westernized mindset. And how this mindset infiltrated and became the most influential mindset within the body of Messiah since the second century and onward. Are you following? And we gave few examples of how this mindset influenced actually the ones who led the body of Messiah about 100 years since Yeshua ascended to heaven, second century, about how this mindset that they brought from the Greekanized Westernized world, they brought it with them into the body, how it influenced the way they interpreted the scriptures and how they misread scriptures, again, because of this clash, because the scriptures were not aimed at Greek Western mindset, but at Hebraic one, and how they distorted actually the truth. We spoke about, for example, wrong interpretation of the terms Old Testament versus New Testament, or Old Covenant versus New Covenant. Those of you who have been here before, yesterday, know what I'm talking about, right? We said shortly that Old Testament versus New Testament has nothing to do with set of books. Okay? It has to do with the actual covenant which was cut between God and his people Israel when he led them out of Egypt, and we know it's Sinai covenant, based on the blood of the lamb which actually enabled them to go out of Egypt, yeah? Versus the new covenant, I call it Mount Golgotha covenant, where Yeshua, where God cut with us a Brit Chadasha in Hebrew, new covenant, with the shed blood, and stamped it with the shed blood of not bulls and rams, like Mount Sinai, but rather with the ultimate blood, sacrificial blood of the Lamb of Passover, the Lamb of Passover, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So good, so far so good? Are you following? Good. Of course, other stuff that we dealt with is Matthew 5:17. Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And of course, we said that the church, in their expression of faith, it is like to read it the following way. Yeshua said, do not think I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to abolish them. This is how it looks according to the church expression of faith, yeah? So why is that? Because again, the Greek mindset and the inconsideration of the Hebraic mindset, rabbinical terminology that Yeshua used in Matthew 5:17 and onward. Abolishing, giving the wrong interpretation. Okay, you do away with something that God gave if you distort its meaning, okay, its original meaning, giving wrong interpretation, versus fulfilling, giving the correct interpretation, okay? And we saw that in Matthew 5:20-21 and onward, what Yeshua does, he actually reinterprets the distorted interpretations of the back then the rabbis, and today the church leaders, okay, needs to reinterpret the Torah in the way Yeshua did it, yeah? Validating, fulfilling, giving the right interpretation to the Torah versus abolishing it or doing away with it, okay? Let's pick it up here, okay? Let me find out where it is first. And we will pick up this abolishing, fulfilling business, the Torah. Abolishing, fulfilling. Okay? So let's pick it up here and we will go to our main subject as we make a progress. Fulfilling, giving the right, correct interpretation, abolishing, misinterpreting God's law, word, and Yeshua fulfills God's words in the, you know, we spoke about it, giving the right interpretation, right? Okay. What about the Torah? God's Torah is spiritual and holy, and those are quotations from not the quote-unquote Old Testament, the Tanakh. Those are from the New Covenant scriptures. Romans 7:7-14. The Torah is spiritual and holy. Paul, Rabbi Shaul, says it, yeah? It is good for use by God's people. 1 Timothy, you know that 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, when it says there that Paul says it to Timothy, don't you know that scriptures are, you know, aimed at building you and educating you for salvation? When he said it, there was no Matthew, Luke, Rome. There were no New Testament scriptures. So which scriptures did he talk about? The Torah, the prophets, and the writings, which were in existence, canonized back then. Let's continue. Okay, just a few things about what really changed, because things did change in relation to the Torah, friends, okay? While the Mount Sinai covenant, the Torah, five books of Moses, or it's not five, yeah, from Exodus and onward, was stamped by the blood of the bulls and the lamb, yeah, like Exodus 24, the new covenant is stained by the blood, and I said it before, by the blood of the Lamb himself, Lamb of Passover, Yeshua HaMashiach himself. Different priestly order. Those are the things which did change, okay, in relationship to the Torah. Different priestly order, and you know what I'm talking about, right? The Melchizedek order, which took place and of course did away with the Levitical order. You can read it in the book of Hebrews, okay? The curse of the Torah is not effective anymore on those who place themselves under the blood of Yeshua, yeah? In Yeshua, under the new covenant. We are not under it anymore. Those are the changes. Sinai is the shadow. This is so important to understand, beloved. I am so sorry that the church does not read or teach the Torah. I'm not talking about the churches that you come from. Maybe they are perfect in this sense, yeah? But most churches, and I said yesterday when I say church, I don't mean the Southern Baptist, the Northern Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic. I'm talking the general term, in general terms, about the church system. Sounds good? The church religious system. It can be whatever, okay? Most of the time, the new covenant scriptures is preached from the pulpit, yes or no? Most of the times. Okay? I mean, when was the last time you studied the book of Exodus? The book of Leviticus? I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about messianic movement. Okay? My friends, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Sinai is the shadow. All the pictures, all the portraits, all the patterns. Remember Hebraic mindset? Not linear, but cyclical. Everything is patterned. Everything is repeated. There is nothing new under the sun. Are you following, people of God? So if everything is patterned and nothing is new in the New Testament, where you should look for the pattern? In the so-called Old Testament. All the story of our salvation is based on the story of the Exodus out of Egypt. 1 Corinthians 10. All that happened to our fathers, we are going to deal with it some more later on. Golgotha is the substance. Now, you cannot, I think I wrote it here, there is a need for the shadow to better understand the substance, yes or no? I mean, now you want to meet me for lunch. We never met. You tell me, Rami, please, can you email me your picture? Or you take my picture from my website. Yeah, right? Now, just imagine we are meeting and I'm a black person, African. Yeah? Would you recognize me? But without my website, without me emailing you the Torah, you cannot know whom to expect. Do you see what I mean? The Torah is the picture, is the shadow, foreshadows. The substance is built upon that shadow, okay? So, in order to understand better God's word, the new covenant, you must understand first the Old Covenant. Let's continue. Okay, the second, the new covenant does not abolish the first, but rather gives it the right, correct interpretation. Okay, like we said. That's what Yeshua did in all his ministry. He came to show, to fulfill the Torah for us, to show us the real spirit beyond the letter. Okay, and if you don't try to keep the Torah through Yeshua's interpretation, through the light that Yeshua gives to us, we are going to be killed, because the letter without the Spirit will kill you. We are going to skip Acts 10. You know, I think we just for the sake of time, I just wanted to speak about Peter and his vision. We are still dealing with the wrong interpretation of key scriptures by the church fathers who brought the Western Greekanized mindset, paganized mindset. Are you with me? So we talked about the new covenant versus old covenant. We talked about abolishing versus fulfilling. Yet another key verse is in Acts chapter 10. Whatever God cleansed, you should not say common or, you know, kosher or unkosher. Remember? Most of the church interprets as it relates to food. Well, surprise. It does not relate to food at all. How do I know it? I read in the same chapter. The Bible interprets itself. Did you hear this slogan before? So why do I need to go To understand Peter's vision with the sheet, with all the egg and bacon and snakes and shrimps which was lowered, and God told him, eat, slaughter and eat. To understand whether or not it really spoke about food, Leviticus 11, okay? To understand it correctly, first of all, for God's sake, I need to ask Peter, Peter, how did you understand it? And Peter answers it in verse 28. He says to the people who gather in Cornelius' home, you know that I as a Jew should not come and fellowship with you, you know, etc., etc. But God has shown me not to say about any men unclean and clean, etc., etc. Okay? I think we even discussed it yesterday a little bit. Okay? So let's continue with your permission. Let's go to Acts 1. And the context is very important. The disciples who spend 3.5 years, while you're opening, please listen, 3.5 years walking hand by hand, side by side, with their Messiah, Yeshua, before his crucifixion, 3.5 years before his crucifixion, they walked hand by hand, they barbecued together, they took a dip in the Sea of Galilee, Mediterranean. They were around the fire camp. Remember? I mean, they did many, many things that if John says that if he would write all of those things, all the heavens and earth would not contain the books, right? So we have, whatever we have is handpicked by the Holy Spirit. You agree with me? Yeshua did many, many things and taught many, many things that we don't even have documentation of, recording of, because the Holy Spirit decided what? To inspire the writers to put here. I hope we all believe that this is the truth, what I just said, yeah? So, the context of Acts chapter 1 is the 40th day that the disciples are with their risen Messiah this time. Risen Messiah. How would it make you feel? You are now with your risen Messiah, no reason to doubt anymore. He is not just a spirit, he is a man, he looks the same, he just has a body, which is a completely different body. It's a glorious body, glorified body, which means it can walk through walls, you know, no alarm system can keep him outside. Are you following? He has the body that Adam and Eve had before they sinned in the garden. Did you know it? You all and me, by God's grace, will have this same body that Yeshua had after his resurrection. Are you following? So here they are with him, and the natural question that will come up their mouth, yeah, out of their mouth, is in Acts 1, verse 6. Let's read it. Therefore, when they had come together, this is on the Mount of Olives, facing Jerusalem from the east, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So, beloved, didn't they get it? I mean, after being with their master for 3.5 long years, yeah, doing stuff with him, seeing him healing the sick, you know, the leper, the blinded, I mean, every kind of sickness, yeah, casting demons out. I mean, wouldn't you be impressed? Now they see him resurrected. He won, he had victory over death itself. Did not have anything to do with him anymore. He was the glorious, victorious Messiah. You agree with me? What a stupid question to ask him now. Didn't they get it? Didn't they get that he did away with the Torah? Didn't they get it that he did away with Israel as God's chosen people? After all, God's people, majority rejected him. So he rejected them. And now he's going to create a new nation called Christians and a new religious system called Christianity. Didn't they get it? Didn't they get that the kingdom of God has nothing to do with a land, piece of real estate in the Middle East? No, they did not get it. Because they were not as spiritually blinded like most of the church today. Their question was excellent and very in place question. That's why Yeshua does not rebuke them. He only says it's not for you to know. We are going to see tomorrow, Lord willing, that we are very, very, very close. Actually, we are in the very fulfillment of the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Those very days, tomorrow we'll see it. Tomorrow I will give you the details and your responsibilities in according to your knowledge. Okay? So, beloved, did the disciples miss it all? Did they not understand, et cetera, yeah? Replacement theology. What I said sarcastically actually was replacement theology, which says something very simple, yeah? Israel rejected their Messiah. God rejected Israel. The church is Israel. Hallelujah! Right? Wrong. Wrong. There cannot be anything wronger. Wronger, you say? I just invented a new English word for you. You cannot be wronger than this, my beloved. Because we established the foundation yesterday, and one of the pillars of this foundation that we established, you know, the common ground that we built yesterday between us, was that the very first body of believers was a Jewish one, Israeli one. So how can this be truth? It was the Gentiles were grafted in, right? We will deal with it more tonight. So, for sure, a wrong theology. Okay, come on. You know this, right? Yeshua did not rebuke, etc., etc., yeah? So, now we get to the point, beloved. Who is Israel? After all, the kingdom, please encourage me and tell me that you understood this very foundational truth. Otherwise, we cannot go on. Do you believe that the kingdom of God has to do with Israel or no? Even if you came here not believing it, friends, a kingdom by its very definition needs three ingredients.